You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. It's Mail It In Friday. Brought to you by 1-in-100.
Who wants to have some fun?
Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Hour 2, Mailin' in Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net and your first entry is free. Brian Hayes, Craig Button in here, and the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill.
You guys have to explain yourself. You just looked at each other and said, that was a great scene. My name's George, I live in my parents' basement. And then somebody else said, yeah, and he gets the girl.
So they're in the diner. They're in the diner. George, you know how George is. He's always over.
No, I don't. I didn't watch that stuff.
So George was always, you know, lying about everything, right? He was always saying that he was whatever he was. He was a marine biologist. He was an architect. He was always lying and everything. So finally he says, I'm going honest. So there's this really pretty lady sitting at the counter, and he goes over to her and he says, hi, my name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents, and she falls right for him.
Loves it. Yeah. It's a trap. Yeah. Like, it's an immediate swipe right on 90s Tinder.
Yeah.
Opposite George.
Yeah.
Opposite
so George. So the girl was like, wow, that's compelling. Like,
she's like, I'm into the honesty, and that's awesome. You got no job, no prospects. You live with your parents, and there's something kinky about that. I'm vibing it. Yeah.
Do you know where that gets you in 2019? You're not doing that now. No way.
Well, I'm not sure it actually worked in real life in the 90s.
Well, you're right. Obviously, yeah. You guys are talking about a TV show. That never works.
No. And Costanza's in the show. He's like 37 or 38.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like he's in his early 20s and coming out of school.
I have no job. I live with my parents in their basement. That does not fly.
No. That's why you got to expand the imagination a little bit, right? It's a sitcom. Somehow Costanza finds a way to have a pretty decent Rolodex. I mean, if you went over the history of the show, it's not in Jeter's category, but it's a pretty good job for a guy who's like 5'3", bald, unemployed all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's he was punching up throughout the show. But that's
well, I bet
Hollywood,
you in real
right?
life that he did some damage.
I don't know. Jason Alexander. I don't know. Like, he's Michael Richards, who played Kramer, we all know about the stand-up and...
Yeah, he got into some trouble.
The N-word, and it was really not good. And his whole career just capsized.
No,
he's
gone.
Out. He's done. He's gone. I don't even know if he's trying to return. Jerry Seinfeld just kept going. Like, he's, you know, Comedians in Cars, Getting Coffee is a brilliant series. He still does stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Julia Louise Dreyfus has Veep, which is a hugely popular
show.
She just wins
awards.
Keeps winning Emmys for that. Yep. But Jason Alexander as George never, I don't know where he went or what he ended up doing. You know, he really got typecast. And it was like, that's it, you're George forever.
Yeah. Go take a picture on a couch with your underpants.
George
I think there
forever.
Might have been an episode like that.
There was.
Oh, there's the picture is, it's in everyone's living room.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Leafs in action tonight. We're out of here early today at 6:30. The Tap Man and Greg Gilbert will be in here.
Damn.
Yes Guy, No Guy around 6:42 p.m. Eastern time. We've got future headlines at around 5:30, putting a different spin on it. We're looking 10 years ahead. The 10-year challenge going the opposite way.
How do you know when Yes Guy, No Guy is being fired out?
Because Al has me prepared every day. Al knows exactly what's happening every second on this station.
So Yes Guy, No Guy is at 6:42, Al?
That's right. Yeah, Al knows that.
No, he doesn't. He just gave a thumbs up. He has no idea.
The pregame is a well-oiled machine. We wing almost everything on this show. You think the Tap Man's coming in and doesn't know exactly what's being said and exactly what's being played every second of that pregame? You were on the pregame. You were winging it, but he knew what was going on.
Do you have the Yes Guy, No Guy sting?
Yes Guy, No Guy.
See, if it were up to me, I would walk in here at 4 o'clock and not say a word and just...
Yes Guy, No Guy.
And just say, Hazy, Yes Guy, No Guy.
For what, though? You got to give me something.
William Nylander is going to get back on track. You saw signs last night.
No guy. I didn't see signs last night.
Don't pull a tap, man. You got to give a reason for your answer.
I'm saying I haven't seen enough signs. Like, there's no reason to believe. 3 weeks ago, I was saying that. I'm like, here. Remember, the monkey was off his back. He scored in the afternoon against Minnesota. Well, the monkey has set up shop again on that guy's back. Like, he's not. I don't see him.
The monkey just jumped off to go get a banana.
Right, and it came right back. Yes. And it's back there again. So I'm not waiting anymore for William Nylander. Eventually it will happen. He's too good. He's too talented. Something will snap out of it. But there's no reason to believe it's just tonight it's going to happen.
Yes, guy. No, guy.
Leafs decor over a 7-game series. If they match up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're good enough to get the job done for the Leafs. Craig, you can start.
No, guy. They create too many challenges of their own doing. And that's not just the defense. I've talked about this, the way they play defense. It goes hand in hand. But that matchup is not good against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
What did you make of Gardner and Zaitsev playing the most minutes last night? Well, I think it's a deceptive question because do I love it on paper? No. Do I think they could get the job done over 7 games? Yeah, I think the Leafs can beat anybody in a 7-game series. They'd be underdogs. They'd be underdogs against Tampa. If they let Stamkos register 10 shots every night, it's a problem.
I don't know how you guys felt about this last night, but it was one of the things, again, and I'm watching it and I'm going, why does this groundhog, we're not even a groundhog, start poking its head up? Last 3 minutes of the game, the Leafs are stuck in their own zone. They're running around. They're losing faceoffs. Great, grade A chances. And Freddie Anderson has to stand on his head once again. Where have we seen that picture? Oh, yeah, 2013, 2017 playoffs, 2018 against the Bruins. Why? Why does that continue to happen? It happened again last night.
It did. I mean, that was
because you know why? It's because of what we just mentioned. It's the decor.
I agree.
When you dumped it into New Jersey's corner, Scott Stevens would crush you, knock you on your ass. He would shovel it over to Niedermeyer. He would skate it out of the zone, and there's no problems. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're right, but that Jersey defense is like an all-time defense. You know, expecting that isn't reasonable.
You shouldn't have a decor that panics all of a sudden, and they don't do that for 60 minutes, so why are they doing it in the last three?
I don't know. And it's the thing is, you mentioned 2013, and you're right, but it's a completely different cast of characters.
But I'm talking 17 and 18, too. I brought up 17 and 18. I'm like, you know what? A different coach, too. Different coach from 13 to now.
Yeah.
I'm not, but let's just stay away from that. Let's just go to 17 and 18.
No, I hear you. Like, game six, Washington, Matthews scores. In the last 7 minutes, it was downhill.
Yep.
Third period. Game seven last year, it was downhill. I get it. I don't know what happens. I don't know what it's triggered. Like last night, Freddie Anderson was unbelievable the last 3 minutes of that game. He played great all night. But
Stamkos,
it was like batting practice for him. Like at some point, I was yelling at the screen. I'm like, just don't let them get that pass off again the 18th time tonight.
I was thinking about Aaron Judge. We're talking about Matthews and being in a little bit of a slump. And Aaron Judge, you know, we saw him go through a slump. And I'm thinking it was like, when I'm watching that last night with Stamkos, I'm thinking, it's just like, here, Aaron, let's see if you can hit this one.
Right.
Like, okay, Aaron, try this one.
Exactly. Right? No movement on this pitch. It's coming right down the middle of the ice. Join us down the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're just talking about the Leafs and the past couple of years where against the top teams, if it's a big game and they've got a lead, something just triggers like a panic and they can't control the game anymore. And it happened last night and they survived, as we know. But they didn't survive 2 years ago in Game 6 at home against Washington. Didn't survive Game 7 against Boston last year. What's your read on the situation?
Well, I mean, I thought they played really, really quite well yesterday for a large portion of that game. And then, you know, they're going to get the heat poured to them a little bit when the goalie comes out. And what I find is they stop doing what makes them dangerous for the previous 50 minutes or in control for the first 50 minutes. They don't make any plays. They take the puck. They all resort to, it seems like, to chip it off the glass, shoot it up in the middle, flip it up the center ice, and then scramble like hell to change, and now we're off the ice. But the momentum never stops. It keeps coming back to your end. They don't. It's like they can't quite calm themselves to make a couple of passes, to get out of the zone, to get up to the red line, to control the puck up the ice. If we look at the last 5 or 7 minutes, there's not many times last night where they had the puck under control, or they made a play that it went to the next guy and he made a play. It was like, onto the next guy, thank God it's off my stick. Off the glass, it's off my stick. Problem is, you never get out of your zone. You never get any momentum. They just go to center ice, regroup, and attack again. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with your assessment of the overall game. I thought, you know, Freddie Anderson was very good, but the last 3 minutes, the goalies pulled, then it was a scramble. But the Leafs showed up last night. Like, it was, I thought both teams did. I think the effort from both teams was there. I thought the big boys made an impact for the most part on both teams, and I thought it was a fast-paced game. If you worked hard enough, you could find some open ice. But there was some traffic. I mean, the Leafs, the three goals they scored, it was all basically right in front of the net, which that's kind of what you expect.
That's a game that suits them, though.
Yeah.
Right? The pace of that game suits them.
Right.
The ones that don't are when they get grindy and, you know, maybe less flow to them. Like, there was no shortage of talent to make plays on both sides last night. And I think that really suits their style of play. And maybe why they play better against Tampa than they do against Boston.
Ray, you played against a lot of good players and with a lot of good players. What would you do? You've watched them up close. What would you do to try to make Nikita Kucherov less dangerous?
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, how are you going to make Sergei Fedorov less dangerous if he wanted to play that night?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. Let me just use a different word. How about we're trying to mitigate the damage?
Okay, I want a D right up in his face as much as I can.
Yeah.
Don't take penalties.
But as soon as you take 5 feet back from him, it must seem like, you know, a party to him. Like, 5 feet's like a football field for most of us. I would want to try and have somebody right up tight to him so he can't use his agility, can't use his speed, doesn't get to use his puck work as much, because, my goodness, he's just an awesome player to watch.
Yeah, I agree, Ray, and that's why I asked, just because, you know, you're not going to keep him off, but he's
phenomenal.
Yeah,
and the second thing is, Craig, you talk about having a D-man right up on him. Your F3, your third guy high in the offensive zone, when he's on the ice, he's ultra high. He's basically just inside the blue line, so that guy can stand up, because if anything happens, you've got support. Just a couple little things you think about when you got a talented player like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. That's not a one-man job.
No.
And Kucherov is far more dangerous than Steven Stamkos. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I believe, like, the injuries have robbed Stamkos some of that power and stride that he had when he was at his very best. Now, he's still a terrific player, but I would say if I was to take away one of the two, I would try to take away Kucherov first. I mean, that leaves you, now you got to deal with Stamkos, but still, I think he's more dangerous with the puck on his stick. He can do more things with it. He can do more things than most people in the league, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, he's an exceptional talent. And I do think this conversation is an example of what would drive a lot of kind of old school hockey fans wild watching the game last night. Is I found the Leafs game plan, and this is probably just the way it works with their personnel, but it's stick check after stick check. They had a couple of opportunities I found last night where they could have laid a body on him, or at least, you know, hit him a little bit, you know, and it just, I didn't see it. Like, when he did stop up at the sideboard, finish the check, hit him. You know, and it just
nobody hits anymore.
No one does it, exactly. No, it's stick check, stick check, stick check, move, move, move.
The danger becomes if you go to finish and you bounce off him, he beats you right to the net and you don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I find, like, and just, you know, being around the way, watching the way guys play, is that everything is about fast as you can, deny time, and keep yourself inside of the player that you're defending. And so that would mean that to finish your check, you've got to get outside that player, because once you finish, you got to bounce somewhere. If you don't bounce the right way, you're off balance, he gets by you. And so I think guys are, the game goes so fast, they can't finish, they can't bump. And then there's probably a lot of guys that just aren't willing to anymore. Like, man, I don't know how many times we'd, you know, say I'll use Detroit as an example again, and all we'd hear is finish on Yzerman, finish on Fedorov, get a body on Lidstrom. It was the same thing over and over and over again. It was your only chance.
And yet somehow you could never figure out a way to do it.
Never. You'd finish them, it'd be too late, it'd be three passes and in your net, and you'd be like, huh, well, that was a waste of effort.
Well, do you think that has to come back, though, that message in a seven-game series? It's one thing, a one-off in January, but if they meet in the playoffs, don't you think Babcock's got to express that? Like, yeah, be careful and make sure you're positionally strong, but if you can, you know, take an inch, take it now, and maybe
but
it carries over.
The composition of the team, though, doesn't it, Brian? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, are you going to have a bunch of guys that don't normally finish checks start to finish? Because if you do, that's not how they play. That's not what makes them effective. And then you get into a series and you're playing the same guys over and over again, and you're trying to wedge down the number of guys that would even be playing against Kucherov. And so if they don't, like, for example, say Mitch Marner's playing against him. Do you want Marner finishing his checks all over the ice?
No, of course not.
25 years ago, yes. Today, no. Right? Like, that might be the matchup that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the way that the game is fast, so you got to defend fast. Defending fast means it can't be the grind and pin. Well, there's the other thing. You used to hit a guy, you were supposed to pin him. Now you just can't do it. It's a penalty.
Buffalo's in Vancouver tonight, and Elias Pettersson, we keep waiting for the go-ahead and the green light, but he's not going to play.
Sunday.
Yeah, likely Sunday. And our buddy Frank Cervelli's got a piece up on TSN.ca about the call the race. And at this point, as long as Pettersson doesn't miss another big chunk, he's a lock. I would think unanimous Calder winner.
I think he could play five more games and still win the Rookie of the Year. Like, he's that
good.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Really? He's that far ahead of everybody else?
Oh, yes.
Well,
I think he's lapped the field.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I guess, you know, McDavid... I don't remember who won it McDavid's year, but because he only played 44 games, it was like, you're out, sorry. And I can't remember who won it that year. But
geez, I don't even remember.
Was
either.
It Zach Werenski that year? No, he didn't win it, but he was up for it. It wasn't Eichel. Eichel didn't win it. We'll look it up.
You guys are sitting in front of computers.
I know that, but we're on the radio. We're waiting for our crack research team to... I'm trying to think of it on the fly. It was only a few years ago.
Was it Barzal?
No, that was last year.
That was last year. Oh, it was Panarin that won it.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, what are those guys behind the glass doing, eating lunch?
Yeah. Well, yes, to answer your question, but also...
A lot of it.
Artemi Panarin won it. And he had like 76 points,
remember? He deserved it.
Yeah. But the reason I bring this up is Frank has written a piece about how Dahlin is, I guess, in his opinion, the guy who would be behind him right now. And I remember when Vancouver was in Buffalo back in November, we had this discussion about how quickly the narrative has changed, because coming into the season, Dahlin was the guy. Like, not that anyone was expecting Pettersson to be anything short of a high-end prospect, and he was Rookie of the Year in the Swedish League, but we got into it kind of hypothetically. But at the time, I'm like, if I'm building a team, I'm still taking Dahlin, because they only played like 10 games. You know, Pettersson had been exceptional, but it was 10 games. I'm not going to change my opinion over a month. Where do we stand on that now if we're building a team? Pettersson or Dahlin?
Well, I can say, living in Vancouver, it is amazing what Pettersson has done to the team, the perception of the team, the confidence of the other players on the team. The city is engaged like I haven't seen it engaged since the Stanley Cup year. Like, it's amazing what this kid has done. So I would always, I think, lean to the defenseman, because you can play him 27 minutes a night, but now forwards are playing 22 minutes a night. Like, they're getting their big boys out there 22 minutes a night. I wouldn't have a problem with either one of them. I would always lean a little bit to the defenseman. Let's not forget that Pettersson is a full year older than Dahlin.
Right.
And Dahlin is playing what is acknowledged as the most difficult position, you know, skater position to play. But then Pettersson, if I'm going to jump back and forth, Pettersson never played center last year. And so he comes over here and they're like, yeah, play center. And you're like, and he's like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And he's arrogant and cocky, and he's got a real charm to him. I think the kid is amazing.
Well,
it's really hard to pick for me to pick Dahlin because I'm seeing firsthand what Pettersson means to this city.
Yeah, and that has to be brought into your consideration. Marketing, putting people in the seats.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Every time I watch Buffalo, I'm like, and I'm kind of... I'm used to sitting beside Bob on the panel last year, and he said, watch this YouTube video of this goal this guy scores. And maybe I'm looking for a little bit of wow factor from him, but I don't see that much when I watch Buffalo.
See, this is where I think, too many kids get the reins put on them. You know, he doesn't play the same way.
No,
I don't think.
But Ray, if you remember a couple years ago, Morgan Rielly, he never played in the power play. He just killed penalties, and it was Babb's way of saying, "You take care of this and figure this out first, and then you can go nuts." And you're seeing the results. So I don't know if that's kind of a similar plan, but I don't know. I thought I would be more impressed. It's not to say he's not
a
great player.
He's been pretty good, like for an 18.
No, I know he's a great talent, but it's just. It's not like Chris Pronger or somebody else showing up on the scene. It's he's growing into the position.
Let's keep in mind, Chris Pronger came into the league and he wasn't very good. He got traded because he wasn't very good, and that was part of maturity.
Oh, I know. I was in Hartford when he did.
Anyway, I mean, like to Ray's point, I mean, Pettersson has come in and I mean he's captured the imagination of not just fans in Vancouver, but the entire league. And, you know, the way he does it, and, you know, he's arrogant by being charming, and you love that about him. And Darlene's a different type of player. He's an 18-year-old defenseman that has, Ray, you know, you've done some games, and you just talk about how calm and cool he is, right? Well, Pettersson has his calm and cool in a different way, but, you know, we're trying to pick between two players that are superb talents.
Yeah, two great options. You know, both teams are lucky to have them in the end, but... It just, and I guess, you know, it speaks to Pettersson and how quickly he's hit the ground running. And he was fifth overall pick and rookie of the year in Sweden. But, you know, Dahlin, when he came in, it was unanimous first overall. And this guy is the guy. And he's going to be, you know, a Norris candidate at some point. And, you know, it switched quickly to all of a sudden, actually, you're not. You're number two in terms of the rookie pecking order. Because if I'm watching one rookie tonight, it's got to be Pettersson. That's how good he's been. That's how entertaining he is.
I'll tell you one thing. I've got a lot less enthusiasm to watch Buffalo-Vancouver tonight.
Without
because
him.
Pettersson's not playing.
Yeah. Well, Ray, I had tickets to the game a couple of weeks ago when Vancouver was here. Like, and I said before that, there's one ticket every year where I want... I'm lucky enough to be in the press box. We're all lucky enough to have access to that. But there's been one guy the last 4 years, I got to be in the seats, and it's McDavid. He's here once. The first year he was injured. He didn't play his rookie year. It was a bummer. But if he's here, I'm in the seats. I have to see him play. Pettersson was number two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been lucky enough to see Sid and Ovechkin and Stamkos and Kane. I've seen them. I was dying to see Pettersson, and he was injured, and it was a bummer. Like, it was really... Cause
and they got smoked,
They got smoked. The Leafs smoked them, and I don't know if Pettersson would have changed the outcome, but being able to see him live, that was worth the price of admission.
The game... Two nights ago, they played Edmonton, and it was really entertaining. And if Pettersson was in that game, it would have been a circus. It would have been so great. The overtime, the first 2 minutes, like everybody was kind of playing for position, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Yeah. It was awesome. And if Pettersson could have been there, it would have been even better.
I think Pettersson had a comment a couple weeks ago about McDavid, about where he ranks, and I think he said he's like, I think he's one of the top five players in the world. But
right.
He didn't say he was the best player.
That's what I mean, Like, he's arrogant, but he says it with such a charm. Like,
yeah.
like somebody asked him, are you hoping to play Friday? And he looked at the guy, and he just stared at him, and he went, yes. And the way he said it cracked everybody up. Like, there is, they have hit gold here in Vancouver with this
kid. Of course, yeah.
Well, we'll see. Leafs in Florida tonight. Again, Buffalo and Vancouver tonight. Big weekend, NFL, lots of stuff going on. We'll break it all down.
I want a total number of steps for you once you get home. Now, is your family gone yet?
Oh, yeah, they're gone. They were out this morning. I dropped them off this morning.
Ray, I told him to sleep on the couch, so he just wakes up and turns the TV on. Have your beverages, your snacks all ready, and you don't move at all.
This sounds like a veteran of this play right here by O.
Right.
So, Hayes, I want a total number of steps for the weekend, please.
Okay.
On Monday.
Yeah, no, I'm worried that I'm kind of setting the bar too low, if you know what I mean. Like, too lazily.
You got to just do Sunday. It's not a whole weekend thing. It's like Sunday, I want zero steps.
Sunday, for sure. I'm going to put in my best effort.
Let's do that. Sunday, can you keep this under 2,000 steps?
Oh, 100%. 2,000. Ray, I'd do that on a normal 20. Sunday.
Yeah. Under 20.
But you got to go to the bathroom. You got to go to the get food.
I know, but I don't live in a mall. I mean, that's 2,000. I won't hit that by next Sunday. But this Sunday, I'm thinking more somewhere in the hundreds. We got to determine a number, and believe me, I won't disappoint.
Forget about, like, you know what? Like, set up in the washroom. Your food, sit there, set up the TV right there in front.
Just everything.
That's a tough one.
You don't get involved in this nonsense very often, but we've already come up with this. He's going shopping. He'll get the pens later today.
Oh, okay, yeah. There we go.
There's no such thing as a washroom in my repertoire.
Yeah, you can't have a moose in the bathroom and then have cheese and crackers right outside the naked.
Can't happen.
No.
It can't happen. Well, wish me luck, Ray. I'll let you know.
I'm hoping it's an incredibly low number. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun one. You'll be the first one to know.
Oh, beautiful. Later on, boys. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com.
By the way, article out today, somebody suggesting that Ray Ferraro,
I forgot
possible
about that,
president of the Seattle hockey team.
Eric Dehatchik from The Athletic wrote, I think, five people, right?
Yeah.
Ray was one of them. And he, a really good commentary on Ray, you know, talked about him moving
Dave King,
from playing.
I'm sorry, was that's out of touch. That's not.
Well, he was going to be a senior advisor, Dave King, right? And then
that one was a little bit of a stretch.
Mark Hunter was in there, and Sean Burke was in there. And
all great people.
Yep.
But I would look at Ray. You live in Vancouver. It's a two-hour drive. Be the president. Be the Shanahan of the new Seattle franchise.
As long as he keeps not coming bad on this show every day at 5,
he do whatever he wants. He will not do that. He will not do that.
Obviously he won't. I'll bet you he would. If he took that gig, he wouldn't even accept an invitation on the show. We'd have to request and go through PR.
Yeah.
He'd big time us immediately.
Yeah. He'll Jerry Lawless us.
That's right. Bigger and better than us immediately once he's into that.
Hey, pal, can you come on the show? Go through my PR people. Oh, okay. Well, last year we just called you and you were like, okay.
The last 7 years we just sent you a text, but okay. We'll go through your
system. We'll contact your people, I guess, and then you act like you've never heard of it, and then we never talk to you.
Let's put you down as a no guy. Speaking of which, yes guy, no guy in about 74 minutes.
And you know who the other guy was? Ron Francis.
Ronnie Francis, that's right. Darren Drago will be in studio at 6. Future headlines, putting a different spin on the 10-year challenge. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Darren Drago, Hockey Insider, in studio at 6. Future headlines brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. So this 10-year challenge has been ongoing. I figured, you know what, let's put a different spin on this. Let's look 10 years into the future. So future headlines, we're not talking Sunday morning or Monday morning. We're talking 2029. You had to put your money on it. You had to pick one. of these headlines, which ones would you pick?
Okay.
Okay. Does it all make sense?
Yeah.
So way down the road. So you've got to, you know, take this into consideration that maybe neither of these options are realistic, but I got a couple here. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Patrick Mahomes gearing up for his fifth AFC championship game in the past 10 years, or the Patriots back in the AFC title game for the first time in a decade? What is more likely?
Patrick Mahomes all day long.
In 2029.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes for sure.
You think he's geared up for a long run of dominance in the AFC?
I do.
We talked about it yesterday, and Craig has it. You don't. I have it. He has the clutch gene. Next question.
Yeah, I would be on Mahomes as well. And but I don't think the Pats, after this AFC title game, I'm not convinced that they're going to get back there anytime soon.
Mahomes has it. Al doesn't. The clutch gene.
All right. More likely to be a headline in 2029. Austin Matthews closing in on Matt Sundin's team record of 987 points, or Mitch Marner closing in on Matt Sundin's record of 987 points?
Neither. You're not getting that many points.
Absolutely there. If they're still here in 10 years?
Not a chance, dude. These guys...
Marner's at 190 right now.
Matt Sundin played the game where he played in the league where he got 120 points, 150.
That was in Quebec, not
these guys get 65, 80 points. None of them. Not happening.
I guarantee if they're here long enough...
Once again, last segment, that's why you do not have... The clutch gene.
I don't even know if your gene has been studied yet, but it should be. And it should be sent to like a university in Switzerland and be studied around the clock.
Okay, here's a quiz question for you.
What's the answer? Is it Matthews?
It's neither. It's neither.
Do you even understand how reasonable these both of these options are? Like Mitch Marner has 190 points today. Today. You don't think he's gonna score 800 points in the next 10 years? You don't think I do. I think he can do that. Craig?
My answer is neither.
Okay, you go with neither. Craig, you can answer. Marner or Matthews?
Marner.
Yeah. I'm on Marner, too, because he stays healthy. I don't know if Matthews is going to stay healthy. And I think I'm on Marner. Like, he's going to score 110 this year. Not going to do it every year, but he's not reverting back to 60 points if he's
There's
healthy.
There's just no guarantees. Like, guys aren't getting points like it's the 80s. Like,
I hear you, but Sundin...
Have you ever gone through the league leaders in points the last couple of years?
I understand that, but Sundin was not a guy who scored 100 in Toronto. He scored 75 every year. Like, every single year. He was 75 to 85 points every single year. But in 10 years, that'll be 13 seasons for these guys. I think they can score 988 points in 13 seasons. Is that unreasonable?
Not to me, no.
Okay.
I think it's neither.
All right.
What's going on with this lineup? I thought there was a pre-tape.
No, we played it earlier. We played it at 4:30. Well, what gene is that?
Dan Orlovsky? I thought we chatted with that dude.
Yeah, we did. We've already talked to him. Find the podcast online. All right, final 10-year challenge future headline, January 2029. Vladdy Jr. sets up to become the Jays' home run king in 2029, passing Carlos Delgado. Or Vladdy Jr. looking to win a World Series in his first year with the Yankees.
I don't know, man.
How many does Delgado have?
He has a lot.
He's got a lot. Yeah, he's way up there. But, you know, if Vladdy's up for 10 years...
Yeah,
well. And, you know, he averages 30, 35 plus, he'd pass him. But I think it's the Yankees, quite frankly, because I'm not convinced this ownership group is going to pay this guy if
they
he's that
will.
Good.
I say no. I say that Yankees.
You think the Yankees are more likely in 10 years?
Yep.
I fear that that's the case.
How frustrating is it, Brian, for organizations, and I'm a Yankees fan, and I've seen it with Boston, but... These organizations, whatever sport, they have young kids, they become all-stars, they don't want to pay them, they move on. It's like, it's crazy. But the Yankees are always like, oh yeah, come on aboard, or we welcome you.
Well, if we develop you,
God,
we'll
I find
pay
that
you.
Frustrating, man.
Yeah, if we develop you, we'll pay you. Like, when it's time for Judge to get paid, they're going to pay Judge. Yeah. You know, and when Mookie Betts, he's up, you know Boston's going to pay Mookie Betts.
Didn't I see that Mookie Betts signed a one-year deal?
He's young enough where it's probably, you know, their team control, arbitration, and stuff like that. I don't know what his contractual scenario is.
It was weird. I think I saw it on Twitter. It's like a one-year deal.
Yeah, that's probably right. But Boston, you know, they'll eventually get to a point where they're like, we're paying you. Let's lock in a 10-year deal now. We don't have to wait until, you know,
we're paying you 25 a year for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. They'll pay him more than that, and he's worth it. But
look what the Angels did with Trout.
Mm-hmm. They got ahead of the game, but he can opt out, I think, after next year.
Yeah, but you're trying to get ahead of the game. The point is, your point.
Exactly. You don't have to just be like, well, the CBA says we only have to give you this.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people talk about Machado, and they talk about Harper not having signed yet, right? Well, you know, if Trout can opt out next year, right, wouldn't you want to keep some dollars available? Because you're going to go after that guy before anybody
else. That's exactly the
point. I guarantee, like, if he opts out, he's a Yankee or a Red Sox. It's already in the works.
The report is out there that the Phillies...
Are you serious?
Well, let me answer this, because he grew up in Jersey, but I think he grew up a Phillies fan.
Yeah, he grew up southern New Jersey.
Right, he grew up, exactly, where like JVR grew up in that. He grew up in Philly. He's an Eagles fan, he's a Phillies fan. The Phillies, there was a report this week, they have the budget to sign both Harper and Machado. They could do them both, but they don't want to. They only want to get one, because they want to keep room in the budget for if Trout comes up. Because if Trout comes up next year, I believe it's next year, I think it's 2020, that's a lock, biggest contract ever. Like, we talked about it with Harper. While Harper could get $400 or $500 million, Trout's getting $400 or $500 million.
Harper ain't getting $400 or $500 million.
No, he's not now. You know, he's going to get three.
Okay,
$300 million.
I think he's still going to get three.
They offer, what was the offer? $175 million for 7 years from the White Sox.
That was Machado. That was Machado.
But the Nationals offered
more, I think, but
Harper $300 million, and he said no. So, Craig, if you're management, what if he circles back and says, what about that offer for $300 million? Wouldn't you say, it's actually not on the table now?
Well, the market's changed. Isn't that Jose Bautista? You don't think he wouldn't have circled back for the offer?
Well, right. No kidding.
Yeah.
I think management, Jeff, it's real simple. You go, hey, you know what? If you miss the ship that sails at a certain time and day, you missed it.
That would be quite something. Imagine he ends up signing with Washington, but for $275 million.
Or like $180.
Yeah, they really squeeze him.
$20 million Mookie Betts. And he was arbitration eligible, but they avoided it.
Yeah.
$20 million for 1 year.
Which is just incredible. Like, that's an amazing amount of money. That's life-altering money. But for him, he's a $30 million guy. You know, like, he's a top five player
MVP.
In the league. Yeah. It's Betts, it's Trout. Those are the big dogs.
And so they're saying that Trout could go to the Phillies.
Well, not necessarily. No one's talked to Trout about this. I mean, to be fair, Trout
never talks, period.
Yeah, no one knows what he wants to do. He may want to stay in L.A. He may want to be with the Angels his whole career. I don't know. But he grew up in the Philly area. It's a Tavares type of thing. Let's save some money, make sure we got enough, and if he comes up, let's talk to him and be able to sell him on coming home.
So I don't know the contracts in Major League Baseball, Brian, but how simple is it? At the end of next season, he just has an opt-out where he says, I'm free?
I believe so. I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure he can. And if he does, he's 100% opting out. Like, everyone that can opt out that's at the top of their game, they opt out. Because then you can just smash contracts.
Yes.
Like, why would you be like, no, I'll opt back in at $20 million when you can opt out
and get
35?
I'll just stick around.
No, that's not going to happen. If he can opt out in 2020, he's out. Now, it doesn't mean he won't re-sign in Anaheim. You know, he might. But
so he's opting out regardless,
he's going to figure it out. The second he can get out of this deal, he's getting out. Because he's underpaid. You know, he's the best player in the league every single year. He should be getting paid
$40 million
a year. Like, as crazy as that sounds, it's true. Like, he would be worth $40 million a year. $40 million a year. And there's another one. You know, this year the Jays have been given a complete pass. But if Trout ends up on the market and it comes out that they didn't even talk to him, that would be a joke. You know, a joke. Because there's your guy. I'm not saying he would want to come here, but you've got to at least put an effort in. Hey, tell me what the dollar is, and we will match it if you're willing to come here. Because Mike Trout?
Plus.
You got the money, and there's no one bigger and better in baseball than Mike Trout. All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, will be in studio at 6. Leafs in Florida tonight, taking on the Panthers. Pre-game at 6:30 right here on TSN Radio. All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, will be in studio at 6 o'clock. Got a Leaf game tonight. We're out here at 6:30. No Saturday night game for the Leafs, but Sunday, a rare Sunday home game with Arizona here.
Man, that's a weird one, huh?
Arizona plays at home tonight against Pittsburgh and then flies all the way up here to play Toronto on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And the All-Star game next weekend. Mm-hmm. So, Leafs play tonight, Sunday, and then Wednesday against Washington at home, and then they're off.
That is one thing that I have zero anticipation, excitement, is the NHL All-Star game. I'm sorry, a three-on-three skills competition? No way.
Let me ask you this. I mean, we've seen the.
Do you like it? I mean,
I don't care. I don't even watch it. It doesn't. It's not even on my radar. It doesn't matter to me.
No, same with me, Brian and Jeff. But you know, do All-Star games even matter?
No, they don't.
There used to be a time when an All-Star game. I mean, maybe it's just because we see all the all-stars, we see all the superstars on a regular basis. There's not this, oh, look at all the stars, they're together now. It just seems to have lost its luster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like back in the 80s, Mario versus Wayne. It's because they had, like, they took pride in who was going to win that truck. Nowadays, the guy wins the truck, he gives it to the trainer who was the trainer at the All-Star game and says, there's a truck.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about a truck.
No, they don't.
Well, I do think you hit the nail on the head, though, Craig, about how we have access to every game, every player, whenever you want it. TV, yeah. Phone, iPad. So there was a time, like way back in the day.
It's not like the oh wow factor where it's like, look at all these guys in the same place.
Sometimes you couldn't even see a player. Like, we're not, like, I remember growing up as a kid, and you guys were older than me, when there would just be Leaf games, it's like, oh, it's not on TV tonight. What do you mean? It's not on TV. Like, yeah, none of the networks want it or have it. They're playing in St. Louis tonight, and it's just not on TV. Like, what? And that was in, like, the early 90s. Like, it's not like this was 50 years ago and Foster Hewitt was still calling these games. This was not that long, 25 years ago. Just games, like 10 games on the schedule. No, it's not on TV.
Well, there used to be games Wednesdays and Saturday night. And that's
right.
Like, you know, they play games on other days.
Yeah, they're playing tonight. You can't see that game.
Yeah.
Like, and now, if I want to watch the two worst teams in the league on a Tuesday, I can watch it. So, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches for sports fans. We're living in an incredible era with technology and with access. And as a result, I think, you know, it doesn't mean that much to see these guys. We get to see them all the time. Yep. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Again, the trade deadline is coming up, and we'll get into the Leaf win last night, a big win. They played well against Tampa. That was a fun game. That was a great game. And they're in Florida tonight. And see what's cooking out there on the hot stove with our main man, Darren Dreger.
Dreg's coming up, and then a quick yes guy, no guy before the phony yes guy, no guy.
We'll get to that next.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.